Episode of the Bobcast with you, as always, is Bob, live in the lounge, staring at the Ouija board. It's Monday. I record this on my first day of spring break, and it's 55 degrees. Sun is shining. The green is starting to come through the canopy. Spring is, you know, kind of happening. Everything seems to be, all seasons now, kind of like, they're like someone who's like not sure if they want to go in the pool or not. They dip their toes in, it's freezing, they put their legs in, then they go in the pool and they can't go underwater. That's what the seasons are like. They're just like, nah, not really sure what's happening, not really sure what's going to pop off next. I could come up the hill and then bang, there could be like, you know, total coverage out here. Total coverage. Woke up today too feeling just good, you know, just woke up today like feeling like, you know, thank you God for everything, you know what I mean? Thank you God for, you know, my beautiful son. I love that kid, dude. I love him so much. You know, it's crazy when you become a parent. There's many different ways towards that path, you know what I mean? So I'm not gonna like, you know, take anything away from stepfathers or stepmothers or anything like that. But like, you know, I was there, man, when he came out. The nurse, the doctors, they all told me to sit down. They said, nah, you don't want to be standing for this part. This is the part where we're going to remove your son from your wife's skin bag. And we feel as if you should be sitting down to obscure your view, to, you know, limit your memory of this to the lesser degree, because stuff like this only happens, you know, once in a lifetime, blah, blah, blah. You know, can you please sit, sir? I was like, dude, I'm not sitting. I'm fucking standing, dude, you know? I'm so glad I did, because it was a cosmic alien experience. I do recall the banter of the nurses and doctors as I'm having like the most magical, trippy moment of my life. They're all talking about like local television programming that was coming on later that night, and just like their insensitivity towards the whole thing. And in general, I just think the doctors are just, not all, I shouldn't say that, but the ones I have come across, there's only been maybe one or two, but there has been a handful of just jerks, man. And I get it. You become desensitized to the human experience. You're in, you know, maybe you're not a doctor. Maybe you're a nurse. Maybe you're somebody who's just become desensitized to the whole thing. And, you know, I get it, man. But we're still out here on the other side trying to be human beings, trying to live our lives. You know what I mean? We have issues about that. We take action when our backs are up against the wall. Here comes some nice folks. Let's see if we could say hello here. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hello. Good. How you doing?
Enjoying the weather?
So much.
You two match. You know that? Like, did you do that?
Happens.
Like, yes, it happens.
For a few years.
You have a great day. Couldn't ramp him in with my joke. I used that joke in the podcast yesterday. It really was the truth. They didn't really match, but they were all wearing those tones. So yeah, they're like, hey, we want you to sit down for this moment. We want you not to see your son be born. Glad I did, because then he came out, and dude, my wife was under the, you know, influence of medications because she had preeclampsia, and you know, she was spread out on the table. Oh, just hit a rock with my foot toe. It hurts. Like the only rock that I've been stepping over apparently for like the last freaking decade. Yeah, so he comes out, right, and they want me to cut the umbilical cord. Dude, I had so many nightmares about you know, like, it's going to happen. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to, you know, do the snip snip. And I did, you know, but I totally blocked that out. Like, I remember them asking me. I remember them, you know, standing there. I remember seeing this, you know, the circles of where you put your thumbs through. And then I blocked it all out. Then my attention just goes right back to him. The first thing I couldn't, you know, possibly understand was, where did he get that dark jet black hair? Apparently I had jet black hair too, you know, but it's like a thing. It's like your hair pigments, right? They're in the womb and like, they're just like, nah, yeah, no sunlight coming here. Nothing coming in here. Get my pigments. Oh, man. Then I noticed that, like, you know, his eyes were huge, right? Like, my dad and myself, I've been told my eyes get real big. He's got that intensity like his father, right? So then, yeah, then I'm with him, you know, and I'm over this, like, table. He's in this, like, little square unit with that. Every single hospital, every single place you ever go, it's somebody's got the monopoly on the baby blanket. It's just, like, this one, I wouldn't even call it, like, I think it's like three color tone, but it's like plaidish stripes. It just screams baby to me. You know what I mean? But you see it everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. If you're a parent, if you're not, you're like, what the fuck? You probably didn't even listen this far because it is going in that direction. So then those first moments, right? With a kid, your kid, right? It's awesome, okay? It's beyond awesome. And it is the beginning of you, you know? I've been commenting on the show about how, like, you know, my son's getting older and I barely feel like an adult, you know? And, like, I'm aware I'm an adult, but, like, I'm still in the quandary of wanting to learn more and still in the quandary of wanting to have experiences that are not bound by time. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm too old for that. It's like, obviously there's some stuff I'm not going to do, right? I'm not going to, like, you know, go make TikTok videos at the King of Prussia Mall or something like that. I'm talking about, like, you know, I can't wait to go on another backpacking trip, you know, or just something. You know, adventure with my son and wife is always a good time. We had some great memories over the weekend, but they're local memories. You got to get out. You know what I mean? You got to get out and you got to have adventure. That's why I come out here, dude. I feel like even though I do this every day, it seems, it is an adventure every time I come here because it's unpredictable. Nature never, ever has some sort of agenda that, you know, it's following according to your plans, dude. She's in control. Wow, look how beautiful that is out there. Okay, so like there's this other field. Let me go back into my ASMR voice. The fields, the fresh smell of grass cut, the path open for those who enjoy no sunlight. I don't know what I'm sorry. It was a mess. I would delete that, but I don't believe in deleting. Yeah. I do, I guess. I was really hard on myself in the beginning, you know? That's really hard. Here we go. Back into the bits. So, you know, having that experience, and then also, too, just, you know, being a stay-at-home dad, you know, I had no good job like my wife. I had no sustainability. I had nothing to offer, to be honest with you. But what I found was I did have everything to offer by being the stay-at-home father, the nurse, the baby bottle heating up guy, the baby bottle clean guy, the baby diaper clean guy, the baby tummy time guy, the baby. It was good times, you know, and you know how, like, moms get sad, like, you know, when they see young babies. It's starting to happen to me. You know, it's starting to happen. It happens a lot in public at the mall or something like that. And I'm like, oh, dude, I miss that experience. Because for some, it's terrifying. It's a terrifying experience. Maybe you're in the middle of that right now. Maybe you're about to have a kid and you're terrified. Look, I'm telling you, dog, it's better than your best panic attack. That wasn't the truth. It's better. It's not like having a panic attack. It's like having like, don't like bug out about it, right? Because really what's going to happen, and nobody really talks about this, but your dear old man, B.O.B., Robert Patrick James Cahill III, maybe the fourth, maybe the fifth, who really is counting these days, eh? I'm here to tell you, dude, that what it's going to do, it's going to freeze time for the first time ever in your life. From the day you were born into the day you become a parent, you're moving, man. You're hustling. Even if you're somebody who's just like, yeah, man, I'm just going to do what I want, stay at home, play video games. You're in it too, man. You're in it too. Your life changes when that baby comes out. Because, hey, when the baby comes out, you better be damn sure that you put yourself last and you put that kid first. That's the key to being a good parent. Nobody talks about that. You know what I mean? Nobody, like, hey, it's not that you're going to give up who you are, your personality, your hobbies. Well, you have freaking plenty of time for that shit by the time they, you know, get a little bit older. And, like, you're not thinking that far ahead because you're like, oh, I've got this task and it's going to really hinder me. It's not. It's going to enhance you by showing you really what's important, really the things that are important in life. And that is love. It's the only thing that separates us from, you know, matter. There was reading this article, a former student. She's into holistic nature stuff, and she was talking to me about trees and like how certain trees have feelings and stuff. And I totally believe that, because here I am right now on the, for the Bobcast listeners, we'll call this the snake trail. When I was paralyzed with fear, when my path was obstructed by that serpent snake. There's a tree just before it. When you walk, Bell's Mills is to the right of you. To the left is some tree debris. And this particular tree is like kind of sticking out in the trail. I've hugged this tree before. We're going to hug this tree right now. Okay, here we go. I'm leaning in. Oh, I'm getting up in there and putting my heart rate on her. I got the mic. Usually I put the mic down and take it seriously, but I wanted to let you know that, dude, I'm telling you, this tree's got vibes. Imagine being able to hug something that's centuries old. You know, we don't really have that because of our insustainability and our skin bag malfunctions. Trees can last quite a long time. So that's the greatest thing about being a parent, man. Is it, you get to freeze time, man, just for a bit there. In the beginning, when your baby is real young, it'd be best for you not to have a job. It'd be best for you to have income saved up. You save up for vacations, right? You know how you do that, right? Then you blow your wad out there. You're like, was it really worth it? I got sunburned the one day, terrible hangover, you know, everything's overpriced. Is that really like memorable? Is that really worth your time for just a few photographs that you post up on Instagram? It's not, in my opinion. But I'm saying, if I didn't have kids, I would save up something called nest egg home, I ain't going out funds. When you have a kid, man, stay home. Don't go to work, okay? Matter of fact, see if you can get out of work. See if you can say, hey, I'm going to go on some medical leave. I'm thinking about changing my scalp. I don't know, whatever. You know, like, what do people do now where they take medical leaves, work on their mental health? Say you're working on your mental health, dude. You know, you want to get better. I stay home with the kid for a maximum. I'm telling you, 9 months. Stay with the kid the same amount of time that she stayed or he stayed in your wife's body. You stay with the kid that long too. Did I just come up with some sort of universe mathematical equation to make you all just the best parents ever? Think about it. The intimacy of living inside somebody. I have no clue. Yeah, I mean, I was inside somebody, right? But I don't know what it feels like to be that person that has a creature inside. I was listening to a podcast today with the great Christina Applegate, who was on Dax Shepard's pod, Armchair Expert. And now, I love that guy. Anyway, she was saying that the mother actually starts to, like, a mother holds on to the DNA of the child, you know? Oh my God, I thought it was another snake or a rat on the trail. It wasn't. Whew. That was frightening. Just some twigs. Hey! So yeah, you develop a bond, right? If you're a mother, what about a father? What do you do? What do you got going on there? Typically, what happens is the kid comes out, takes some photographs, people come over to the house, they bring you dinner trays, and then you go back to work after 2 weeks, right? And then you're hustling and grinding while the whole time she's at home taking care of the kid, right? You're going to miss out on something special, man. I'm telling you, you're going to miss out because of that occupational prison. So set yourself up, especially if you're some of my young Bobcast listeners and you really want to lay down the law here and go against the rules of the grain, because they want you to listen to them and be like, hey, yeah, you're going to have this much time of maternity leave and then we're going to ask you to come back to work. Nah, dog, I make it the rules. I follow me own blueprints, eh? Everybody at work is, you know, we don't know when we're moving. We're moving out, getting new offices. They say it could be soon, could be later, could be, you know, months from now. I moved out myself. People were like, where's all your stuff? I was like, I moved out. They're like, is it time? I was like, oh, it's time for me. Live your life by your own schedule. Adhere to, of course, what your responsibilities are as far as your occupational prison. But at the center, the core of all things, the most important thing is to always remain the narrator of your story. And if you want your story to really kick ass, dude, invest in the birth of your children. Invest in that moment. Invest in that time. Because I'm telling you, that time I spent with young Tyler, we have a bond. But more importantly, it taught me so much about myself, man. I'm not saying force your wife to go to work. Maybe your wife does make more money than you, like the mine does, you know? I was trying to get out of it and say I make more money right now, but yeah, she still makes more money. It's just that way, my friend, you know? I can't help it. I don't know what accent that was. But, yeah, in the scheme of things, as Chris Wood says, just spend time with your kid, you know what I mean? Because then they get old so quick, and you're like, ah, where did the time go? Well, guess what? I'm fortunate to have the time that I did. It's well documented back there in the Bobcast days. And then, what, 4 years later? Yeah, I was a stay-at-home dad again. The sequel during COVID. Wonderful time in my life. So if you or somebody you know is expecting to have a loved one, tell them to start that fund that I ain't working. I'm leaving my job just for a little bit. Please hire me back so I don't miss out on opportunities. I just want to spend time with my offspring fund. You know, it's good. It'll work. You know, it'll work for everybody in the long run. And then we'll all be happy. How you doing? What's up? How are you, man? So, yeah, I think that that would be like some sort of optimal thing. If we could just agree to these terms, we'd be much better off. You know, speaking of turns, you know, it was my turn to, this week it was my turn to like speak up about what I've been experiencing, you know, with, I was like running away from my church for a little bit there, you know, and I usually run away from things, and it's something I've been working on through therapy, and subconsciously this is just something that I do, man. It's like this like 4 year plan thing I do where it's like the high school, university, you know, 4 year, like I'm in, I'm out, I'm freshman, you know, sophomore, junior, senior, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, I can't seem to spend time with people for more than 4 years before they suck my energy dry, you know? And for somebody like myself who is, I'm out there, man. You know what I mean? I'm out there. I walk around the woods every day talking to myself. Some of the episodes get aired, some don't. Some just go into a file for me, you know? Or I just delete them. You know what I mean? But like, I've been like running from the church, dude. Like, and it's over now, but like for a month or two, I wasn't podcasting. I wasn't talking about it because I really respect my pastor. And, I just coming back now from a walk. I'm going for a walk now, but I went through a walk near the church in the neighborhood with, my pastor. And, you know, I told her straight up, I was like, look, I have to tell you,
something. And it's like, I usually run. I'm a runner, you know, like I run away from conflict. I run away from my feelings. Sometimes I run away from organizations. I run away from anything that makes me feel like I'm trapped, you know, and I run away from stuff where, like, you know, it's the old school approach, the Christmas tree light strand, one goes out, the whole thing goes out, throw it in the trash. That nihilism has followed me around my whole life. And, you know, I'm trying to sever ties with that, you know, and like, it's hard because it's in my blueprint, you know what I mean? It's in my design, but like, yeah, I was ready to leave the church. I'm not going to talk about why. I will one day, but like, it's not really important to the story. And basically the thing is crazy is if you think about it, I had problems with, you know, people in the church, not the church. And when you think about the church, you're thinking about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, right? Like, name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? That's what I think of, you know, but like, I've never had a problem with God or Jesus, like ever. It's just the way that they're handled by people that I tend to disagree with. And you know what? Like, I was able to like really spend time and look inward on this and like to think through all the things that were going through in my head and to process them. And all these things today really, they just, everything was just, it's just, I met with Pastor Tasha and like we spoke about these things. And I, you know, one of the first things I said to her, and it's the absolute truth, is that I'm never going to run from you. You're too supernatural. And like, before I even had a chance to like say, the words just came out because I'm being truthful towards her. It's like, when I hear her speak, when I hear her talk about the way the universe works, the way that God and Jesus work in your favor, like, it's refreshing, but also at the same time, I know there's something going on there that's like, I use the word supernatural, an adjective to describe it, because I can't describe what's happening. I can't really tell you what's going on because I've never felt anything like it. It's new, it's different, you know? And it's like, I told her I was going to leave and we went into details. We talked and she spent some time with me and just went over like the whole, almost like she went over like a blueprint of what it's like for somebody who's an empath and how to deal with unwanted energies and how it relates towards Christ, God, and, you know, the church. The crazy thing was like, you know, as I was talking to her about my human problems, she's like, yeah, but no problems with Jesus, right? And like, you know, we're walking and I'm just like, you know, observing and just like took a breath and was just like, yeah, none at all. You know, like, it's weird how like people leave the church, but they're not really leaving the church. They're leaving the people in the church. They're leaving the priest or the whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they're not leaving God or Jesus, you know, like maybe some people do that. Maybe they got to. How you doing, bud? You okay? He didn't seem okay. Poor guy. Anyway, she just shakes things up for me, you know? And she reminds me that, yeah, like, she's just a really good person. I'm so thankful, God, that you brought her into my life, because for the longest time, I wasn't leaning into the spirituality. I was leaning into the Nag Champa false sense of spirituality and the, you know, the vibes and the, you know, 11-11 and all this other stuff, the universe watching you, synchronicity. Like, yes, these are things that God is doing to you. And I think I podcast about that 2 weeks ago when you experience synchronicity. It is like God just being like, dude, where are you? Can you see this? Hey, it's me. It's like Tom Hanks in The Castaway when he's writing Help. You know, nobody can see it. He wakes up, the high tide came in. It's easy to be reminded that you've got issues that you got to work on. And look, this is just the thing is I have, you know, I don't know where to go with it because I know that what I'm about to say is not true. And it's like, when you podcast, you want to podcast the truth, right? And the truth is sometimes I believe that I know what people are thinking, but the absolute truth is I have no clue what they're thinking because I am not them And no matter what superpower you think you got because of the trauma you endured during your youth, you may be wrong. You may be right, but you may be wrong, right? So that's like something that you got to let go of. Maybe you're a control freak, right? Like, I'm right. You're not right. You know what I mean? Like, you could be wrong. And I need to start doing that with people and turning off my empathy meter. You know what I mean? Like, she also told me about techniques that she does in order to allow the empathy. How y'all doing? Hi. She's got enormous responsibility. I mean, I have kids, students who you know, come to me, but she has congregation. She also has people come off the street and ask her to straight up marry me right now. You know what I mean? It's a tremendous amount of emotion going through being that. And she told me that, you know, she has to monitor it because she still wants to have that well of emphatic emotion open for her husband and kids. You know, we joked, I wish there was like a signal, like an e-signal for empathy. You can see you're running out. Cause like the thing about it is you can't really toggle that. You just exhausted one day, you know, just like your energies are zapped. But I'm just super thankful for just that one quick walk and just reset, like spiritually, like I'm thankful just that I play in that band. I'm going to be in a play. Plays tomorrow night, by the way, people. Or excuse me, Friday night. I don't know when this is going to air. Friday at 7 p.m. Storehouse Church. It's my acting debut. I've done stuff on camera, but I never was in a play. I was doing the Battle of the Bands or smoking weed out in the woods with my goon friends in the 1990s. You know what I mean? So I'm being reborn at age 44. It's my acting debut. Mark it down on the calendar. 2024. Okay? I'm saying the day to the full day, because back in the day with Downtown Harvest, I never wrote the year down, dude. Like, what the hell was it? Like, April the 5th. I just thought that, like, this, maybe I just thought that the time was now. I don't know. It was weird. Like, it was an omission completely from all of my flyers. And I did so many of them. I never wrote the year down. And like, now I'm an old guy being like, oh, yeah, I played there. When was that? When did I play the Rock and Roll Hotel in Washington, D.C.? I have no clue. Could be 2008. Could be 2010. I don't know. Anyway, there's no metadata is what I'm trying to say. But this week is Easter week, right? And like, the thing about Easter week, about a year ago, you know, I started to lean in towards more of the lean into the church last year. Okay. I was scared to volunteer. I'm going to say it straight up. I was scared. You know, I was like, I was nervous, dude. I was nervous to be vulnerable in a situation where I'm volunteering my time for a church with a bunch of people who I don't know their names yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird because it's like, I normally put me in there, coach. But with this, I was nervous, and I forced myself into it. I forced myself to be the greeter at the Easter egg jam last year, and it was the first time I volunteered, and it felt pretty good. And from that path, walking out here listening to the worship music, you know, I was captivated by not words that I have never heard before. Like, you know, I'd gone to church my whole life, but I never heard a human being on stage profess their love for Jesus like Pastor Tasha does, you know? One could say it's infectious, but the thing is like, I already had the disease. I wasn't showing signs of being a Christ follower for years. In fact, I was in remission. But dude, I'm so happy that like she reminded me that there's this dude who literally lays his life down for me so I can come out here and podcast and talk to you all about all the good things in life, the wind in the trees, you know, the snake that I couldn't walk past, the countless close encounters at Bell's Mills, and the people I've met out here, and all the hours and hours of audio and all this stuff. It's all God, dude. The whole thing's God's plan. That's, you know, when you really get into that mindset, you think you're going on a business trip. No, dude, there's something else going on there, you know? Even if it just happens to be you on a business trip at a red light, making eye contact with somebody that just needs to say hello, you know, or needs to see your face in some weird way to trigger some memory about their father so they could start feeling emotions or something like that. You never know what's really happening with God's plan. And for the people who think they do know, great, dude. You know, start a Reddit page. Let us know what's going on there. But she said many things, and it's weird how, like, when she says so much stuff from a point of view of a human, but then, like, as I start to listen to it and I start to interpret what's being said, it's easy to think of it as a supernatural thing, because there's been many things she's told me that, like, do come true in my life if I follow into it. And she did say, like, the thing about Christ Jesus is the more you lean into him, the more your life will change. With that being said, my name is Bob Cahill, and this has been yet another episode of The Bobcast.